Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are so encouraged that you have joined us today because God had this encounter in mind. Joining me to encourage you to bring light on your day, on your relationships, on your job, on your nation, is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only one. I don't think there is another one. Is there another one?
I hope not.
Oh, you hope not? Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding.
God just concentrated all the goodness in one. That's right. John Paul Ramos. You are listening to VFN Radio today. We're going to be talking to you about somebody. Listen, we are a nation of laws. A nation of laws, which means if we're going to win, we got to have lawyers. And we're going to talk to you a little bit about Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ. ACLJ today. Also going to be talking to you about the Malachi prophecy, starting a 10-part series where you're going to be able to hear right now why you could be in the very day and time the Lord returns. And by the way, you want to be on the right side of that because it won't end well if you're not. Also going to be talking about GPS, God's positioning system, an interview with John Boyd in Central Park, humor moments, and so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me to encourage you is the producer, Mr. Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Give a shout out this morning to Kechara in Texas. Let's do this thing. Give a shout out to Steve in Pittsburgh. I see you air guitaring even now. Give a shout out to Eddie. Oh my goodness, that woman with the pepper was hilarious. Give a shout out down to South Florida. Good morning to Gina in Houston. Give a shout out to Brett in Colorado. We'll give a shout out to South Korea this morning. We're excited to have South Korea on. Oh my goodness, we're reaching the world for God. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we are keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I am so pumped. I am so pumped today. I'm so excited because today is the day that we get to celebrate being able to have a free government, free country, and we get to be able to give part of our income to the run the government. I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. That this is the day we get to celebrate that we can give our hard-earned dollars to that C-SPAN thing, and they can they're going to spend it, and then they're going to borrow some more to go with it. So the next year we get to actually send some more. I mean, think about it. It's such a wonderful country that even China invests in it. They even pay 40% of what's going on. You know, and really, of course, what it doesn't really matter here or there with the Lord, because you want to give God's perspective. He just says, "Give to Caesar what Caesar."
That's right.
He didn't say give to a capitalist democracy republic. I mean, just like, who cares? If his face is on it, give it to him. And so it very well might be. Anyway, so wow, this is exciting. It's just so exciting.
I'm pumped.
I just want to encourage you, if you have not given what's due to the free country that we're in, you'll find out tomorrow how free it's not, because they will visit you. And, of course, if you're a Christian, you know, you should be happy to do this, because it just doesn't really matter. You don't want to be, you just want to be sincere and do your best. And it takes probably a scientist and a CPA to be able to do today's tax forms. If you do the short form, it kind of just means, you know, what's it called? 1040 sucker. No, many ways. But thank God for our accountants and CPAs who are helping us figure out, what does this mean as thou to me, you know? And then you look at them in the face and they look at you and you're going, is this right?
Yeah, right.
Because you don't know. I mean, come on. Listen, most students, I mean, 80% of the graduates right now in New York, right? They can't read. They're illiterate. Mm-hmm. And they can do #/.. But in regards to actually spell the whole word hashtag, you know, it's like, and so, you know, if I mean, you can imagine our math skills, you know what I'm saying? Our math skills. Mm-hmm. And, but good thing there's an app for that. Mm-hmm. You just wave your phone over your money and then it just tells you, the app tells you how much money to send.
Crazy.
Isn't that something? That is totally something. Oh, I got so much to share. I know you got so much to share too, but I do want to say this. I had the opportunity, the blessing to be able to darken the doors of Pat's mansion.
Really?
Oh man, I was just, you walk in, it's E-Mac-U-Lent. I meant
Lent.
Yeah. That, well, I didn't want to tell you about that part, but it was amazing. You just like a piece, it's like a work of art. It's like a work of art. So, of course, I spilt my drink. You know, like things kind of flawed a bit. No, I mean, seriously, these beautiful floors and countertops and tables and it's dogs. And, you know, it's anyway. So the it's just an amazing, very nice home. He takes it's amazing how blessed he is. I mean, here he is, fit, you know, Superman. And he walks into his cave, I guess that would be. Remember Superman?
Yeah,
I mean, a cave.
Wow. And then he has a super girl. He has a super dog, super kids.
Hey, now, let me tell you something. She really is a superwoman. She's very talented. She's very talented. Good morning, Tracy.
He's pretty blessed.
Yeah, he really is blessed. And then his kids. You know, I had a wonderful chance also to go. I was so pumped, you know, because, you know, in the particular region that I'm presently in, other than eating and dipping your feet in the golf, that NASCAR was coming. NASCAR was coming. Ooh. To our area, and I am pumped. That's the biggest fan base sport there is in America. You know why? Because you just sit there and watch kind of like things go in circles. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to,
again.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to NASCAR, right? And then I knew it was of the Lord because I looked at Donna and said, "You want to go to NASCAR?" She says, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, "Whoa, wow. This is great.
This must be God.
This is God, man. We're gonna sit there." And so then I had a chance that Jonathan, good morning, Jonathan, and Jordan, and Blake and Amber, my daughter and son-in-law, who is a drag racer, if I didn't tell you that. He likes working on the motors and all that. That we got a chance to watch NASCAR, and it was just, you know, and it was like baby NASCAR, because the drivers, I don't think they were old enough to have a driver's license. You know, one of the cars was sponsored by Krispy Kreme, and which is a donut a company for those who are listening to us in the north or outside of the country. And it's very good. Very good. Remember the guy that invested in Krispy Kreme donuts?
Oh, yeah.
The Lord told him, Krispy Kreme. And then the Lord recanted his word after he made a lot of money and said, makes you fat. And then he would pull out, it's not good for you. Remember, so. it was Forrest Gump, the guy that we interviewed for the magazine, that everywhere he went, you know,
from Missouri.
He may have been lying to us, but it was really a good lie.
Oh,
it was
like, yeah.
You know, he's the one that delivered planes for President Bush.
Israel.
He flew the planes over Israel to deliver them to Turkey or something.
Yeah,
he got shot, and the bullets went through him and the seat and the things, and it didn't go. He had no holes in him.
Mm-hmm.
He just happened to be in Texas when President George W. Bush became president. And so the president looks up at Forrest. I mean, looks up at him and says, you know, will you anoint me? And so he anoints. I mean, just all these things happen in his life, you know. And it's like,
he,
you know,
he
this
brought
is
that farm. If and it froze up, but then he made it back again. It's like amazing.
Yeah. And banks everywhere want him on the board because, and I like his mindset that he's not the CEO of his company, that God is the CEO of his company, and he just works for God. And he puts God down as the CEO in his corporate documents. And you got to admit it, this is very good, even if it's, you know. Anyway, so.
Right.
And the banks want him on the board because he's able to look at a business and see whether it's going to be profitable or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he could look at the papers and say, hey, this is good or bad or whatever. So people wanted to invest. This is what he said.
Yeah.
And so then, but what he says is that you got to dump the usury fees. You can't overcharge people for writing bad checks, and you know that's where they make all their money. Yeah. There has to be a lower profit margin on your bank, because that's where banks like. That's why they offer you free checking, by the way, because they know you're going to write a check, because you're eking by, and they know that sometimes you know things don't happen right in the mail. The snail mail really hits there, and they're going to charge you $35-$40 or something for a check. I'm not sure, but
pretty high.
Is it? Okay, thanks. They
what I heard.
And so and he said, I will not, you know, serve on a board that makes the most of their money, you know, and he used to be a little. And so yeah, it was totally amazing too, wasn't he? It was just
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good.
And so that's about Pat's house, you know. I was there and but it was very nice. God's really blessed him. This is what the Lord says. You know, if you're faithful with what he's giving you.
Yep.
He'll give you more. He'll give you more. And he's definitely walked that out. I mean, he's put on 10 more pounds. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, getting back to my NASCAR babies, that it was really exciting. We got a chance to watch them go around the track 150 times. It was really quick. It's like, slow down. I paid a lot of money for this.
Right.
Slow down.
Stretch
right?
this thing out.
Yeah, and Amber was getting off work a little bit later, and she was going to come a little later, and Blake and her were going to ride together. And I'm thinking, like, I got their tickets. Slow this thing down. And luckily, no, not luckily. There was a bumper accident. There was a wreck.
Because
they had yellow flag. And so, like, okay, we could buy some time right here. But it's like, you know, stretch this thing out. Come on. We paid all this money for the tickets. You know, kind of like pause. You know, go five laps, get you a drink or something. And a Coke.
Well, it's a pretty short track.
Yeah, it's pretty.
You're blinking.
You're telling on us. You're telling on us what the entertainment that we have in this region. It was sad. Like going around the block. Anyway, so then, you know, that finished. And then it finished on a yellow flag. They count the laps when, you know, they have a yellow flag. So in other words, you have 100 laps going, right? And somebody gets in an accident. And I noticed that everybody got excited and pointed to accidents. I'm like, dude, this is like when I was in law enforcement days. You know, everybody wants to see an accident. It's like, do you even care about Krispy Kreme? He's a little kid. You know, anyway, he's a baby NASCAR dude. You don't hurt. Anyway, so then they got to stay in the same order they're in, and they go around the little circle track, and you're making sure they get. You're looking because you care. You know, you're concerned and stuff. What's going on? At least I was. And I looked up and it's like. Three laps happened during the yellow flag. I'm like, they drove around in order, like single file for three laps. Oh, wow. And so, you know, I'm like, that's terrible. So I thought it was really bad, but I found it was worse. It ended on a yellow flag. It ended on a yellow flag. So when the yellow flag had 150 laps, you know, it came time for them to take that last lap, and it was a yellow flag. And so they all stayed in order. You know, and drove around slowly over the finish line. I'm thinking, like, anticlimactic.
What is
oh my
that?
Goodness! Wow. Like, I want my
what
money back.
About?
Wow.
Yeah, I want my money back. But really, this is one guy. He deserved to win. It was the first time he ever won. He's number 96. He stayed in the lead the whole time.
Wow.
It reminds me of the stories of Pat and Chris when they were little. He wouldn't let anybody get out of them. Anyway, so then they had motorcycle accidents.
Oh,
I'm accident. I'm sorry, accidents. I'm thinking about their childhood. Anyway, they had motorcycle races, and this was exciting. This was very exciting. They had the intermediate, I guess, baby motorcycle thing, and they went first. Even one of them looked like Elvis. I think it was like he had a padding thing on, like the Samu padding thing. That's what I would have had on, right? And they raced that track like, pretty fast.
Wow.
There's one little bike in the back, like a little mini bike or something. But then the real bikes came out next. And they drove, I mean, maybe 100 something miles around the track. And you're cutting a small track's actually hard to ride on.
Yeah.
And one guy was coming, cutting the corner so close to the inside wall on the first turn that he turned his bike to the side, of course. And people normally stick their knee out. He stuck his whole leg out to be able to keep the balance on the bike. Ooh. And his helmet would come like within inches of a concrete wall. Every single, he did it over and over and over again.
Oh my goodness.
Well, obviously the helmet wasn't protecting anything because there was no brains inside of that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. But no, this guy, he was something. Blake said from the very beginning, my son, well, he said, this guy's going to win. He's going to be out front the whole time. His name is Rob. And he won because Blake used to actually ride with him.
Oh,
motocross. Yeah. Until he broke his arm in the motocross and he just likes working the motors anyway.
Wow, Blake's a wild man, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
Yeah, he probably has a body of like ours now.
Fragile.
I'm doing motocross. You think about it. Joints and all. Can you imagine?
You ever seen them wreck? Oof. Tragic.
Was it?
I've seen it.
You seen it? Well, he literally has a steel thing in his arm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah. And he didn't even wear earplugs. I mean, he's so tough. He didn't wear earplugs. And Amber looks back at me and she says, "We hear these sounds all the time in our garage." You know, and of course, Jonathan, Pat's son, he's just a cool kid that he had to hold his earplugs because he had his football shorts on. They don't have pockets in them. And yeah. And so he the whole time he had his earplugs in, of course, me being a responsible adult, I pulled one out so he could hear what it sounded like. Yeah, it was funny. It was so funny. But so that was my weekend, you know, little NASCAR babies and Krispy Kremes and getting the chance to walk into a dwelling that was so detailed. I mean, I just felt like I didn't want to make a mistake there. You know what I'm saying? It was Pat's house was so nice, the colors and all that kind of stuff.
He's good. He's talented.
He says he can't paint, but his house looks like the Mona Lisa. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't like
fun
paint.
How that works.
You don't like painting. It is totally. It's amazing, man. It was just beautiful. And then I saw his little pug dog. By the way, remember how he used to talk on the radio about the dog?
Yeah.
Oh man, this poor little dog. They had him locked down, man. He was on lockdown. Oh, no. He was on lockdown.
That started already.
Yeah, he's on lockdown. A chain, like some big chain gang.
Oh, come on.
It wasn't. Just yesterday he was cooing and ooh and sending us pictures, you know, rolling around the floor with the dog. Now.
No, he just said, "Get out of my face." No, he just said, No.
Interested that how we can need to rescue that dog.
Yeah, right. No, seriously, you know, serious.
He's so oh my goodness. Well, I had an amazing weekend. I had a chance to go with my wife. We're celebrating our anniversary.
No? And what, like a month ago?
Yeah. He's in love. He's in love.
You know, been a week, so we had the weekend, you know.
Do y'all celebrate for like a whole week or something?
You know what? God's been so good. We can celebrate for a week. That's something to celebrate a whole week for, you know?
I hear you.
It is. But, it really is. I remember, man. God's been good to you.
Yeah, he has. So we head out to Central Park. We rent these bikes, right? So we're riding. Now,
motorcycles?
No. Oh. You know, bikes, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, tricycles. You
know, no, he's talking about bikes.
Oh.
Bikes. Trikes. Bikes, you know.
Okay.
So we're riding.
In Central Park?
Central Park.
They say if you jog around Central Park, by the way, that it's like smoking two packs of cigarettes. Serious. I mean, that was back when I was there, you know, stationary years ago, and it was a little bit more smoggier then.
Well, I smelled all kinds of smells in there, but we won't go.
When you finish walking through, you can take a piece of white Kleenex and just wipe it across your face and go, "Oh my goodness, exhaust."
Actually, the outskirts are, you know, like that, but inside I was so amazed. I've driven by Central Park so many times, but and we've been there only like once before, but walking, you know, doing the bike thing inside of it, oh, it's just beautiful. See,
did you see any angels visiting from Throne Room of God coming down to see how things were going? Okay, I'm sorry. I want to hear about this Central Park, which is a mile. By the way, people don't know how big it is. It's a mile. It's a square mile, right? Or is it a mile long?
I have no idea.
I think it's a square mile.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Just pictures don't do it justice. It's huge.
Yeah.
You can't imagine that this beautiful park with these huge mountain rocks are right in the middle of the city. They've got an amazing statue. I had a statue of Daniel Webster. Mm. Oh, amazing statue. I took a picture of it, but it says something like union and liberty, never to be apart or separated. Something just pretty awesome. But they have all these statues.
What's so cool about it, too, is that it's a square mile of intense focus of a park.
Yes.
It's not like just a piece of land. Every single thing is staged to be beautiful, and the lakes and the trees. I mean, you need that for therapy living in the concrete jungle, right? Isn't it like that?
You almost forget you're in Manhattan, to be honest with you. I mean, they have lakes and ponds and statues.
Unless you stay there after dark, and then you'll remember that you're there.
Don't stay after dark. You don't stay after
dark. The sun's
dark.
Going down. Run. The sun's going down. It's a mile. Run for the border. So,
I didn't know this. I mean, they have an app. They have all kinds of maps.
Oh wow!
You know, I'm cruising along, and I notice that their lines on the paths. They have a path for the horse and buggy people that are going there. They have a path for the bike riders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lane, not a path, a lane.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lane for the runners. And so I'm cruising right along on my bike. And
which lane are you in? You're in the runner lane or the bike lane or the horse lane?
I was in all the lanes. I didn't know that.
You got a ticket, didn't you? You got a ticket.
Yeah, I'm cruising. But then, you know, I see my wife. She's having such a wonderful time. So, you know, what do? I'm the good husband. I want to take my camera out.
Oh,
and
I
want some photos. Okay? So I go smile, you know, take a photo. And, you know, I've been in this bike. It's, you know, you're riding a bike. It's like brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have the camera in one hand, the brake, you know, steering with the other.
Oh,
and I'm
dude, that's like an OSHA video, what not to do.
So what do I do? I, you know, want to slow down and I press only one of the brakes. It just so happens that the one that I pressed.
Was it the front?
Happened to be for the front tire.
Oh, no. Were you going downhill?
I didn't have to go downhill because the back tire literally came over in the back of my head and it flew me over.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh my goodness.
I'm flying in midair, trying not to land in horse, you know what.
Oh.
But this is not the worst of it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the people that are that when you fall like that, it's a good idea just to stay down. Just, you know, get the sympathy, get it all out. Don't get me quick to get up. And all the people were so kind. Sir?
All of them were kind.
One after the other. I said, please just go. Just go. I'm fine. Go. Keep going. Don't stop here. Keep going. And my wife, she's like, oh my gosh, you could have died out there. This is not a good idea. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. But guess what?
What?
Sad to say, guys, that wasn't the first time that I fell. I mean, that wasn't
what?
I didn't fall just once. You know?
Uh-huh.
We just kept riding after I brushed myself off. I have a little cut.
What was on your horse poo?
No horse poo. Thank the Lord for that.
How did you land? You landed between the walking path and the poo path. I'm at the horse
no
path.
No idea. I had mercy that I have no idea. You know what?
I know people walk with their dogs with the little small baggies in the city.
Oh, trust
me. If you have a horse, how big is your bag? Like, it's like a,
it's a garbage bag.
It's a garbage bag.
It's a hefty.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
5 minutes into this ride, and I flew over the handlebars.
Oh my god!
Didn't break. I got to tell you, the phone was still intact. My body now was tore up.
Wow!
I get back on the bike. So my wife's like, "Please be careful. Stay in the bike." Like, riding along, I'm getting the hang of it. Now I'm feeling good. And then there's this steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like of a mountain bike. So I'm feeling adventurous. You know, I'm on my anniversary showing my wife how cool I am riding this bike.
That's over, by the way. At the point, once you go over the handlebars, cool is gone. You just want to say, I'm still here for you, baby.
I had to try to redeem myself.
Right? Oh.
Bad idea. So here I am trying to gear up to go up the steep hill, and I can't make it, and I fall to the left of me, right on top of my wife. And she's
goodness.
Dude.
We want the security footage in the park.
This 80-year-old man comes with this other guy, says, sir, let me help you up. He said, don't worry. Nobody saw this. I said, listen, I'm just happy to be alive. Help me. Thank you.
Let me pause for a moment. Joanne, can you get us the footage of this in the park? We want the footage of this.
We got to get that.
So this happened Saturday.
This was Saturday.
Time? Eastern?
I see. I started laughing. She didn't find that too funny though. She wasn't quite.
She's
small,
like, kind of get away from me right now. I was like, don't say you're married to me right now.
She's like, I need you to use hand signals. Don't stop.
Warning light.
Is she okay?
She is fine.
Do we need to pray for healing for her? Or anything like that?
Oh no, I do have to say that we did. Did make it through the rest of the day without any other incidents.
So what's God saying to you about the park?
and I wasn't banned.
You were a sign. You were a sign.
It was hilarious. I mean, just had to kind of be there. I'm just glad I'm alive and I made it. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious-free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, right, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan immediately. you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And you, it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos.
Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes you feel, guys, I don't know if you know, it's ever happened to you, but sometimes you feel, or maybe if you're listening today, like you're all alone, or maybe you're going through something, and you're tempted to think like, oh my goodness, God, you know, do you know where I ameth right now? You know what I'm saying? You know what's going on? You know, there's 6+ billion people on the face of the earth, and who am I? Are you mindful of me? And the truth is that God knows exactly where we are at. Sometimes we may not know where we're at, but God knows where exactly where we are.
So if he asks you where you're at, it's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Don't tell him an untruth, right? Adam, where are you? Yeah. I'm not over here behind the bush with a fig leaf on me.
Exactly.
Right? Mm. Right? The only two human beings on the face here. Right. No, it's not me. That was somebody else you saw over there. Yeah. Eve did get a short haircut. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So
it's so true, though.
Yeah.
So God knows where we're at. And, you know, we use GPS today, you know, global positioning system on our phones, you know, and it tells us where we're at and it tells us for directions how to get there. But, you know,
supposedly. God,
supposedly, yeah. But, you know, God has long had a God's positioning system, you know, mm-hmm. way before any kind of GPS.
Right.
And the word tells us that the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him and those whose hope is in his unfailing love. You know, God's eyes are on everyone. So, you know, Saturday when I wasn't falling in Central Park on my bike, my wife and I took a break from riding. We wanted to go get a bite to eat. Right? We wanted to get a bite to eat. So we go to this place. We wanted to go to this place called Shake Shack, which is another conversation. But my goodness, you have to think.
Did they card you?
You got to. It's a burger place.
Oh,
it's a burger
okay.
Place. Right. But you got to wonder, I mean, how good could a burger taste? I mean, it's a burger, right?
Well, the burger we had in Manhattan was very good.
Yes, that was very good. Times Square, Roxy, got to go there. It's a very good place. But let me tell you, this burger was very good. So Teresa wanted to go, and so I said, all right, let's go. But there happened to be several of them in the city. So we got directions from somebody who had a closer one. Of course, we wanted a closer one, because I got to tell you that these bikes, by the way, these seats are not comfortable.
At our age, no bicycle seat's comfortable.
No. I need a seat with a pillow, okay?
Because, oh, my goodness.
This is not good. So as a short route is the best route. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and take the short route.
No pun intended. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So we wind up going to this one on closer to the park, and we're standing in this long line. I mean, the line to get into this burger place is wrapped around the restaurant outside. So we're standing in front of this lady. We're talking about GPS, God's positioning system, right? And Teresa starts this conversation with a young lady who's right in front of us. And she asks us, hey, you know, have you been to this place before? And the lady turns around and says, actually, no, I haven't. I'm visiting, and I heard about the Shake Shack, so I wanted to come to try these burgers. So Teresa says, oh, my goodness, I did too. You know, we wanted to eat these burgers. And so we strike up this conversation. We're talking with her as this long line is progressively allowing us to go into the building, right? Mm-hmm. And somehow she pulls out her cell phone, and I notice that she has the Bible on her iPhone. So I go, oh, that's so cool. You have the Bible on the iPhone. I said, are you a Christian? And she says, actually, yes, I'm a Christian. I just gave my life to God 2 days ago.
Praise God.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
Oh, my goodness. She's like, oh, we're Christians too. And she's like, oh, this is amazing.
What's her name?
Her name is Amy.
Well, welcome, Amy, to the family of God. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Awesome.
This is so cool. Amy is from, we find out, is from South Korea.
Hey.
Right? She's from South Korea.
Uh-huh.
And on her journey to the U.S., she first went to California. And then from California, she flew all the way to New Jersey. And she has a relative. Her aunt is a believer, loves Jesus Christ, and led her to the Lord. And then we kind of meet there in the Shake Shack. So we're talking, and she's like, oh, this is so great. I tell her about VFN Radio. She downloads it, you know, right? She goes, I want to listen to VFN Radio. So, you know, we're just having this amazing time. And we wind up getting lunch, and we wind up sitting down and talking with Amy. It's just a stranger we just met like a few minutes ago, but she wasn't a stranger anymore. And we're just sharing life and talking about God and her journey and, you know, what's happening. Well, would you believe, and later that night, you know, we had our lunch and we spoke and I had an amazing time and recognized, oh my goodness, this is God. And she texts Teresa later on that night and says, I'm listening to VFN Radio and it is amazing. I want to share this with my friends in Korea.
So she's going to go back. Cool. She's going to go back to South Korea. She's visiting America right now.
She's visiting America. She's only been here for 2 weeks. She has two more weeks to be here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, so they kept talking and she joined us yesterday at our fellowship. Her brought her with the church gathers brought her. And she was just so encouraged by just the church and just encouraged by the message. Totally, totally amazing. We had a chance to pray for Amy, pray for South Koreans and North Korea. She told us that North Korea needs a lot of prayer. She said there's Christians there that are being persecuted.
Yes. They're actually being killed.
Yes.
For saying that they're being killed for their faith.
Yeah. And so it was.
Well, I want to say welcome, Amy, to the VFN Radio audience. We're excited about it. As a matter of fact, Amy, let me tell you something. There was a sister in the Lord. Her name's Miriam. Her name is Miriam. She lives in America, in around Texas now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord showed us sometime about that He was going to be broadcasting what we're. The message that God has given us into Korea.
Yeah.
And just recently, a lot of Americans who fought in the Korean War who are coming to the end of their days, we had a chance to be able to pay to have them flown to South Korea. And the South Koreans wanted them to come there so they can honor them who fought for their freedom and what was going on. Of course, South Korea is a very happening, profitable, you know, land mm-hmm. now. And they just totally just honored the soldiers. You know, they're in their late 80s and 90s. Yeah. And I think they call them the freedom flights or something there. Mm. And they put them at the nicest hotels and all that. And it's just how God's really connecting our hearts to South Korea. And we're praying for you because we're aware of what's going on in the North Korea and how the freedom that you guys have, you know, the enemy would like to take that. But, you know, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So know that we're standing with you. And now we are standing with South Korea on VFN Radio and VFN TV.
Yeah. So, so amazing. Her aunt was just so encouraged when she, you know, brought her over to, you know, and dropped her off. And it was just amazing. And Amy says, she says, listen, I think what God is saying is that, you know, I just gave my life to Jesus 2 days ago. And He's just confirming by allowing us to meet that He's just so real.
Oh, yeah.
And she left yesterday with some discipleship books and she left with a journal.
Oh, so wow. Cool.
And so, I mean, she wants to come back and goodness. Just fellowship. But she's going to tell you, let me tell you, God has a plan for you. You're not alone. You know, you're. God knows exactly where you are at,
mm-hmm.
and He wants to tell you, just like Amy, He loves you, has a plan for your life, and don't be discouraged. Have hope, trust in the Lord, because He knows exactly where you're at.
Mm. Well, I know this. I want to say, so many things are being fulfilled so quickly right now. So many things are being fulfilled so quickly now that it's hard to keep up with all of them. Mm-hmm. But one specific thing that we're going to be letting you hear an interview in regards to the Malachi prophecy. And the Malachi prophecy is sometime back, and you'll be hearing more details about it. But we're just going to let you hear a piece of the interview over the next 10 days. We hope for you to be able to hear that. So join us in the extra hour, which will be right after this first hour live, and of course on the loop afterwards. And you got to hear, everything's going to build upon itself. But one specific thing that was stated is that we are in those days where the Malachi prophecy was given, that literally had the number of popes that would be in office. Mm-hmm. And after this last pope, this pope would resign suddenly, which Pope Benedict did over the Catholic Church. And the next one that took his place, I mean, you got to hear that, because it says the city of seven hills, which is Rome, would be destroyed during his reign. And as well as the what's there. And you got to be here. We're going to have that for you in the extra hour today. And stay tuned, because we have 10 different segments we're going to play for you of this interview, because it's over a period of time. And we're going to make them available to you as they broadcast on the VFN Torch. So you don't want to miss it. And you can go to the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. You're going to be shocked. And remember this. This is very important. When God does what he does, the only thing the devil, who is the father of lies, can say is, nuh-uh, not true. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who are robbing you blind, for example, or just, you know, stealing from you, they're not going to tell you, hey, I'm stealing from you. They're going to look at you and say, when you say, hey, you're robbing me, they're not going to say, oh, you're right, I've robbed you. They're going to say, no, I'm not robbing you. Mm-hmm. And when Noah was building the ark, you think about it, God saw that things were bad, right? Mm-hmm. On people's minds, 24 hours a day was evil. Yeah. By the way, it matters what's on your mind. It'll determine how long this thing's going to go.
That's right.
And so he told Noah to be able to build an ark, remember? To build an ark. And to preach for 125 years. We don't even live that long. And people are like, oh, I've been, you know, serving God. And it's been a month, bro. It's been a month. You know, it's been 5 years. What's up with you? 120 years, right? He preached. And with no response.
Right. A long time.
He did not change his message. So many people, you know, think because people are not saying yes to God that they need to change what they're saying. So somebody will say yes to them. And so instead of changing your audience, people change their message, and you don't need to do that. You need to realize God just wants people to hear, and he honors their decision. You have to start honoring people's decision, and your heart will be broken because of it, because there's people that say no.
That's right.
They say no, like the rich young ruler who walked away sad because he had a lot of stuff and didn't want to give it up for God because God called it on him. Well, you know, you had Noah building the ark. You had evil on people's minds 124 hours a day, 7 days a week. He preached for 120 days. He had basically just his family helping him out in the ministry, you know, his sons and their wives and his wife. That was it. And they stood and did what God said. It had never rained before that. So it was about to rain. So they're talking about something they'd never seen before. And this boat was going to float in the context of that. And with that, the angels of God, remember, came and slept with the daughters of men.
Yeah.
And they created out of that, they birthed some odd child, which are giants, you know, so many fingers on them and all that kind of stuff, called the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff that happened by then.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tell you what it's going to be like. You know, a man has his opinion, they have their books and everything. But let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, it'll be just like the days of Noah. It'll be just like the days of Noah. So you can go back and study Noah and what was going on and get over trying to get everybody to buy into your message and just deliver God's message. Because if you deliver his message right, you'll find out you may be able to save a few that come into the ark. I love the people who minister and love the Muslims who just take their time over 10 years to win one man or woman to the Lord. You know, and God, you know, they're patient. But Americans are like, you know, I've preached already at least 3 weeks on this and nobody's responding. And they start changing their message. If you can change God's word.
That's right.
And he says, Jesus said, it's going to be the same as the days of Noah. So you can study. He said that they'll be marrying and giving in marriage and working and and all these different things. You'll go to work one day, and one day you'll be gone if you're a believer, if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and the other person will be left. One day, I mean, there's going to be a plane with no pilot in it, possibly, if it's a safe pilot. There's going to be a car with no driver in it. And the suddenlies are going to happen. But the family member who said, I'm going to do things my own way, they might be in the back seat. You know, it's like nothing you could do about it. Because suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, our Lord is going to call his church to himself at the last trumpet. And so you got to listen. You're going to be really, blessed by what you're hearing here. You know, as Tom Horn is being interviewed and Chris Putnam is being interviewed by It's Supernatural.
Wow. Yeah. That's Sid Roth?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just, when I got a chance to see Sid in, we were in
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. I love his enthusiasm and excitement for God. I just like, come here, I want to hug you and hold you for a minute. You know, he's like, it's supernatural. You know, it's a sign. And you made the 2-1 and all these awesome things he gets excited about. He's excited about everything about God. Yeah. And it's just contagious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's just really, really contagious. And so it's going to be Sid Roth interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, who just wrote a book. They had one book they wrote previously, prior to 2012, that said very specifically, and it's done not, they don't call themselves prophets. They just studied everything. They hired investigators and just got evidence. Mm-hmm. And that the Malachi prophecies that the Pope Benedict would resign in March or April of 2012.
Wow.
But, and everybody out here looks like, well, or they said, or the next year, he resigned, of course, suddenly, mm-hmm. March of 2013, in April, March. And, but what they found out was, officially, he resigned a year prior to that, exactly when they said, but they did a whole year of setting this transition up and getting the group that comes together to pick?
Conclave?
Yeah, the conclave.
The Cardinals?
Which is supposed to happen at the point of somebody's death, so you don't have time to plan it. Somebody just died. They had a whole year of planning this transition. Mm-hmm. And the Malachi prophecy that you're going to hear is that this particular pope, the pope that we choose, you know, has to be has to be Italian, and his parents are Italian. Yeah, you know, Pope Francis, right? Pope Francis.
He's Argentinian, so I guess his
parents are. But he
his parents are.
Yeah,
ah.
So he actually is Italian.
Oh wow.
And anyway. So you're going to hear some things that's going to really, and remember the days of Noah, so you don't, your mind doesn't lock up. Go back and just kind of read over that, and look how God responded to it. And God said, "Build an ark." Well, what's an ark? An ark is Jesus. Mm-hmm. They carried the ark. The ark is God's presence. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? You are the ark of God. You're the one walking around with God inside. Know ye not that God's with you? The power of God's with the glory of God. The hope of glory is Christ in you. We are that ark today, and we're inviting people to invite God into their life. And we are like Noah, preaching a righteous message and inviting them to the grace and the forgiveness. Because if you just get in, if you just get on the boat, if you just say yes to Jesus and no to the world, then you're in. You're in, because at that point, of course, the world was destroyed by water. But the destruction that's coming after that, after this, is going to be, you know, everything is going to be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth is going to come. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about it, and you have an interview with Sid Roth, and the books, we'll talk about them and make them available as well. But they actually predicted it down to the T, and this prophecy was given like in 1500 or something, maybe 1200, something like that. And it's called Malachi because the prophet was Malachi. To us, it's pretty significant because 10 years, I was delivering a word called the Malachi Mandate, and that we were delivering, preparing the way of the Lord, and we were working nonstop with Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. Well, what's happening now, it's like the convergence of that Malachi prophecy is coming with all these other things happening at the very same time. And now they're saying this particular pope that's in office now will be the one that turns the church towards the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a billion Catholics, right? Wow. Turns them towards the Antichrist. So the first thing that he does is, and I pray this doesn't happen. My prayer is, but you know, it is what it is.
All right.
And, but he said, he begins to go and pray with Muslims. The very first thing is like, that's the Muslims say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That's anti-Jesus, right?
Right.
Or anti-Christ.
Christ.
You don't sit there and say, let's, you know, the first thing you do over the church, which is Jesus, the followers of Jesus, is to pray with somebody who denies Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's become this, a social justice movement and this whole thing. And you're going to be really surprised what you hear. And that's why we're letting them tell you in their interview. And you're going to be able to hear that in the extra hour. In the extra hour. But there's people right now laying doctrine and everything for someone to appear that's going to bring us to a better salvation, that's going to explain things better and to more thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're preparing to receive him when he comes. And you're going to be shocked.
Wow.
And we're looking at, you know, the whole thing lasts 7 years. So you're looking at the whole projection is 7 years, but it's cut in half, but 3.5 years. And so we're like on the edge of this thing.
Mm.
And we're hoping that it wouldn't necessarily be our generation because we're tired. And, you know, but you know what? You know, let history be said of us that, and understand that our, if you understand our history, and you can go to, you know, greglancaster.org and see some of the things that we've been walking through in God. But for 10 years, we prophesied in the spirit of Elijah, which is the preparation for the Lord's return. We've delivered that nonstop, day in and day out.
That's right.
And he says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that their hearts may turn or may not turn. It's an optional thing. And if they do turn, then everything's cool. If they don't turn, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And we've been seeing since that end of that prophecy was it started with the earthquakes in Haiti, and then the whole world is shaking. The whole world is shaking. I stood before five elected leaders now, and prophesied to them this word. And I had, I don't know, 50, 70 people, leaders at another meeting while I was doing it. But I did it during the time when God told me to do it, and they were gathering. And four of them rejected the word, did they not?
They sure did.
They rejected the word. They openly rejected it, and one of them said, this is good. And all four of them were removed by the governor, like in 90 days, 6 months, something like that.
That's quick.
One of them, maybe two of them, one of them went to jail. One of them ended up mysteriously dying up under a house and mysteriously drank antifreeze.
Right.
And it was just tragic. And then, again, you know, God, during that time, God had me speak about we had hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. And you remember those days. And then I was invited again to come and speak, and I spoke. And the Lord had me to pray that there would be no hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico at all, no storms at all. That entire, you know, that's a bit, after five hurricanes, I'm like, Lord,
give us a break.
I'm fixing to be deeply humiliated here. Mm-hmm. And so I prophesied that, you know, and asked God that, and not one storm. So that was another sign that came.
Mm-hmm.
And then God, they called me back, and God just stirred my heart. Remember the beginning of that year? It's like, you've got to prepare. It's like being on an airplane, because you got to be able to put the oxygen mask on yourself first instead of the person that's sitting next to you so you can help them. If not, you're not going to be able to help them. That was the beginning of that word, because a storm was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and I told them about the storm. I said, this is coming, and the clerk of the court, her name is Linda, and she's a witness to this, that I delivered that word to the new commissioners, obviously. And in that, they didn't get it, and I wasn't fully getting it either, but I was delivering the word because we're thinking about hurricanes and these different things. And I said, a storm is coming, and it's coming in the fall. And this is like around April or so in the early part of the year. But it didn't land, you know, but they were very conversational, and it's different ones than they have now. But they talked more in the natural sense, a storm or whatever. Well, then I was called back around August, and I delivered the word just intently this time and more focused. And I always wish I could deliver it better. And we're doing it now on VFN Radio.
That's right.
And this time it was like talking to a wall. It was like talking to a wall. And this really nice man who's the county administrator at that time, when I sat down in the front row, before I delivered the word, I sat down in the front row in this big governmental meeting thing. And he said, he stood up and leaned over like a high court bench. That's how they were sitting on. And he looked right at me and he said, "You didn't have a dream, did you? You didn't have a dream, did you?" Because God speaks to me in visions and dreams. And then I got up and shared that word. I shared that word and they didn't even receive it. And normally I'll kind of like ease my way out, you know, very politely after I pray or whatever. And this time I was just so depressed. I was just like, it's like, you know, we're going to get, the storm's going to hit us.
Wow.
And I just walked out and left. My wife, Donna, and I were there, and we just walked out. And the county administrator left the meeting that was going on, who actually is the one who runs everything, by the way. And he follows me all the way out to the front of this courthouse by the water fountain and asked me, "Is everything okay? Is everything all right?" I mean, he knew that I heard from the Lord. He knew that something was wrong. And I knew they weren't going to listen. And right after that, in the fall of that year, Alan Greenspan says, "A perfect financial storm has hit America." Mm-hmm. And it's began ever since. And so what I'm telling you about, and what we're talking to you about, is you need to listen. God speaks. He does nothing unless he speaks it through a prophet first and begins to tell you and prepare you for what's going to come. If we hear and obey, then things can change and God will protect our way. Catch it in the extra hour on the other side.